Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Fightful Select, Fightful Overbook, more likely, but it's my first day coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, November 10th. We are glad you are here, and we are going to talk wrestling for a good hour and a half. Going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about MJF, who's the devil behind the mask. We're going to talk Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. We're going to talk all kinds of fun stuff. We are glad you are here, but as I have to start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
Well, you don't have to.
Oh, I have to. It's in the bylaws.
No one makes you do it.
I do it. It's part of my bylaws, I guess.
I'm doing great. It's my vacation days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like 2 days in a row, I slept until noon. I'm not even kidding. Like that's so awesome. I'm basically catching up on sleep for a full year. I'm absolutely sure. And then December will come and everything will be back to normal. Like no sleep whatsoever. Yeah, I did sleep. put together my office chair today all by myself.
Very nice.
I know that they're a huge pain in the ass, like, you know, putting together those types of chairs. I did it throughout the duration of Jonathan Gresham versus Alex Shelley from last night's Impact. How long it took me to put together the chair. I did also pay attention to, you know, to the match. Otherwise, it's kind of dull. You know, my neighbors get into fights.
Yeah.
Like, we had a meeting, you know, a building meeting, because, like, there was a lot of issues that needed to be dealt with. And all of a sudden, two of the guys just started, you know, punching each other. And I was like, yeah, well, this is new. And while that was happening, all the women, there were like four of us, just got together and decided to take matters into our own hands and, you know, took action upon the issues while the men were hitting each other.
All right.
That's basically what happened. Yeah. So, hi, guys. This is a wrestling show. Please like the video, share the video on social media. Please send us a super chat or a humper chat. A super chat is, you know, at the bottom of the of the live chat, the little dollar sign. If you want your questions or statements read on the air, humper chats, you can send at humperchats.com. They make us keep a little bit more of the money. You can also subscribe to Fightful Select. Believe me, it's worth it. Everything that's coming to pass. A lot of updates, a lot of contract news, a lot of scoopsies. So please subscribe to Fightful Select. This is probably the best $5 a month you're going to spend.
Absolutely.
Let's get into it. How are you doing, by the way, Rob?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here. So we're going to have a little fun. And
just a little bit.
Yeah. So might as well get into it. Maggie, this past week, what do you think of AEW Dynamite?
It was kind of a weird episode of Dynamite because a lot of banger matches happened.
Yeah.
And I wasn't used to that because, you know, lately they've been, you know, kind of doing a little bit of different thing for Dynamite. You know, they took a kind of different direction towards the show.
Yeah.
And now they had like Swerve Strickland versus Penta. I'm sorry, but I knew that this match was going to be an instant classic, but I did not expect what we got. It was such a slapper. It just, like, come on. Like, that's a random episode of Dynamite. And this was probably the... Like, having in mind the matches that we got on this card, like it's not as if I'm surprised or anything, but I kind of was. Yeah. I didn't expect a match like that. And then, you know, the table spot with Hangman. I was kind of hoping that this would have happened on last week's show. Yeah. You know, after, you know, the episode that Swerve actually broke into his into his house.
Yes.
Like, having 1 week between those two episodes, like, was... kind of weird, but I understand. Like, I'm not gonna nitpick about this sort of stuff. It was a good thing. I enjoy the fact that we haven't gotten Ric Flair on our television 2 weeks in a row now, which kind of makes me believe that they actually listen to all the people online for, you know.
I think that's the thing. They're going to just do it, like, in moderation when they need them for the show. I think that's going to be the way they go. He did announce, I believe, on a show or in an interview that he will be at the Dynamite next week. So he will be on there.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. Well, not absolutely, but that's fine. But because the thing that he said that he was going to stick with Sting for the rest of his journey, and that's what, you know, made us worry. Also, he said that he was going to be there up until March 24th, and then we understand that he was signed to the damn company. While we're talking about Ric Flair, I would advise each and every one of you to go to Fightful on Fightful.com and just search for the last article from Molly Bell. She just poured her heart out talking about this, and I texted her immediately after I read it, and I was like, first of all, I love you, and second of all, I'm sorry that you had to write this, but it was incredibly comforting to read someone talking about a heartbreak that I myself was experiencing. So a lot of people probably maybe can say that, like, we're overreacting, but we're really not. When you're in love with something and something so incredibly, you know, off-putting happens, like, you tend to be emotional about it. It is easier for me to take it in, having in mind that I haven't seen him on the show. And now you say that he's going to be on next week's show. This is going to be just... Yeah. Hey, sweetie.
Molly's here. Yeah, I know what you're saying, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, I get it, and it's... one of those things where Ric Flair is going to be there. I know he won't be there every week, so I don't like it at all. But they're going to do what they're going to do, unfortunately. But we do have a super chat from our good friend Ryan Sullivan. He says, Roberto, Magerto, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, sweetie. We adore you. Jesus.
Have you seen, before we go on to our next topic, like after... after Ric Flair, the CM Punk doing his little trolls on Instagram. Waller posted the line that nobody can touch me, like, even on commentary. Well, Punk replied with a emoji kiss. So there was that. And then today, like, also he did, somebody says the caption for one of his movies is, I've met the devil. Like, that was the caption, but he didn't post that. It was just the picture from that part of the movie. So he's just trolling now. I love it.
He's absolutely trolling. Like, there's absolutely something that is guaranteed is that CM Punk absolutely knows what he's doing. And he will always do something in order to stay relevant. The guy only has to breathe, okay? He only has to breathe and tweet out something. He may tweet out a dot. Okay, and everyone will start doing their mental gymnastics and will be like, oh, well, he uses dots when he writes his promos. Like, probably that's
yeah.
You know, like, you know, we're absolutely used to that. So CM Punk's gonna troll. Like, I love it. Whatever keeps people interested in wrestling, I'm all for this. I know CM Punk is best for business when it comes to, you know, murmurs and talkings and tweets and staying relevant or whatever. We're just not sure if it's, you know, that kind of good for business, you know, like for
locker. He brings the numbers.
He brings the numbers. That is absolutely correct. He brings the numbers. Collision has been doing that great ever since he left the show.
Well, AEW in general hasn't been doing that great.
In general hasn't been, you know, doing.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
I think a lot of it has to do with sports. Sports. That's on now, like here in the States. You have, well, on Saturday nights, it's definitely college football related. That's the biggest thing. I know you're a big college football fan. The other thing,
I know too, what that means.
And then during the week, on Wednesdays, you have... There's a lot of hockey fans, a lot of NBA fans, and then just life in general, you know. So it's one of those things where it's just, I mean, that's the way it is right now. Just, I think it's they'll recover, especially if they do. Sean was saying that earlier this week that he thinks they're going back toward what made them stand out in the first place, just giving us good
people booking. Kept saying that on Twitter, like AEW is back, and I'm like, back from, like, they never left. Back from where?
Yeah, they're definitely going to be back in 2 weeks when they're in Chicago. So I always like going, I like throwing that barb out there because it's fun. And
Jesus,
it's the Chicago show I'm used to because it's a tradition. The Thanksgiving show is a tradition, so it is what it is.
Think they're gonna sing Cry Me a River.
Wow, well played. I got nothing on that one.
I don't know, because like, it's weird because we got CM Punk chance on Raw.
Oh yeah.
I like those stopped the minute CM Punk went to AEW. Those stopped, and I was like, that is so great, because now they get, and now no like they're back, and I'm like, why? No, please. No, that is
2 weeks from now. Yeah. 2 weeks from now, it's going to be pure hell that week, I think, because you have, like, pure again, you have that Chicago show, Dynamite's first, then you have, which is in Chicago, then you have SmackDown that Friday, which is in Chicago.
And then Survivor Series.
Yes. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
It's going to be a rough time. Yeah, let's get on with
move on.
You know, the show. MJF, let's talk about MJF for a minute.
You want to go ahead and go there? Okay.
Yeah, I do. Like, that's our big topic.
Yep. So
right away,
we saw the devil at the end of the show on Dynamite. They beat him and his goons, or her goons, we don't know, beat the holy hell out of the Acclaim. They threw Anthony Bowens through a window glass, or shattered the glass. I liked it. It was good. Threw him right through there. So, Maggie, I want to hear your theory. Who is it behind the mask?
Well, I still kind of think it's Adam Cole. I do think it's Adam Cole. I don't know if it's going to be best for business if it turns out to be Jack Perry, because I've seen, you know, opinions floating around on the internet that it's probably Jack Perry, and no one's happy about that. And I'm like, I will not mind if it turns out to be Jack Perry at all. I would not mind it, because it will also make sense if it's Jack Perry. This is because whoever it turns out to be at the end, like, if it's not, hi sweetie, hi. If it turns out not being someone that the internet, you know, thought that it was going to be, it's just another case of, well, you haven't been paying attention. It's like Game of Thrones all over again. Like, you didn't get the end that you wanted, and then you crap on the series. Like, I know that's a totally different conversation, but like, you do, again, I'll mention the mental gymnastics here, but like, if you just watch and pay attention to the show, then maybe you'll have an idea of who it is, and or just don't fantasize book or whatever things fantasy that book, are yeah. in yeah fantasy book something that in the end, when it doesn't turn out to be that, you're just all just don't do that. Like, that's not, I absolutely have faith that whatever this turns out to be, they will make it make sense. So don't get your pennies in a bunch if it's Jack Perry, because I'm sure it'll make sense.
What do you think
I'm just angry at people who are so sure. Oh, it's Punk.
Okay,
If it is Punk, okay. But if it's not Punk, which probably is not, like, I'm not, you know, saying that it's 100% not him. But like, when it turns out not to be Punk, don't be those people that cancel shows or sell their tickets back because it wasn't Punk.
No.
Also, leave Sean alone, okay?
That's not going to happen.
Leave Sean alone, I beg you.
The theory that I saw today from Matt Coon, who did FTR or did Dax mm-hmm. Harwood's podcast, he had a really good theory that he posted today. And he goes, what if it's, or he didn't say this, but he just posted a photo of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and three of the like henchmen or whatever you want to call them, the devil's people. I said, I just threw it out there. I'm not saying this is the case. I don't see it happening. But I said, could you imagine if it's Tony Khan? I mean, just think about it. I thought about it from a business perspective. He's talking like MJF is leaving, you know?
I mean, he's already a heel with Ric Flair. Like,
yeah. So I just thought, like, you know, the way he posted that, I just brought it out there. There's no way in hell that's happening. But
I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's not. But like, one of the other possibilities is that it's a reuniting Pinnacle. Because they're like, there were opinions thrown out that one of the henchmen looked exactly like Wardlow.
Yep.
And he kind of did. I mean, I'm the expert here.
Yeah, you're mad.
It really kind of looked like Wardlow, and I will not mind this because I want Sean Spears back on my television. I miss Sean Spears. Where the fuck is Sean Spears? The dude is a genius. So please,
just to see the internet burn, I'd be okay with this,
sweetie. I would absolutely love if it's Peter Avalon, because he's just gonna sit there and drink margaritas.
Oh my god, I would just to see how things would be, like how the reaction would be. I would pay money to see that. Just,
you know, also please, no one forget the four major players that got released from WWE.
Well, that's not, they don't have enough time because their 90 days isn't until December.
So
Basically
December 30th, they can cost MJF.
Or 22nd. But I think we're gonna see it at Full Gear. I do. That's just me. I think the person's gonna unveil themselves at Full Gear. But you could be right. Yeah.
We can see them on, you know, in front of the audience, but it doesn't mean that they'll unmask themselves at Full Gear. Like everything is possible. Okay? Everything's possible.
Yeah. Do you okay? So another name I'm gonna throw out there, and you tell me what you think. Britt Baker.
I can see that she hasn't been on television. She hasn't been on television. I will be happy if, you know, more women get featured on the show. Like, at this point, I will mind none of it. Just put women on the show. Like, it's as if they're making baby steps towards that, but not really. Sure. You know? So, I would certainly hope so.
What? Okay. So, I have two more questions about this before we move on. What is the percentage that you think it's Adam Cole? If you were to
70%.
Guess. 70%?
Yeah.
Okay. And who do you not want it to be?
I don't know.
Like, okay. I just want to know if there's somebody like specific. I didn't know if there's specific.
I don't want it to be. Well, I definitely don't want it to be, you know. It's not Sami Callihan. I specifically asked this Sean last week. He said it is not Sami Callihan.
I personally would love if it was Ali. I just don't see how it's.
I would absolutely love it if it's Ali, Ziggler, and you know. Yeah. Yeah. I understand, but it's no.
Yeah. So.
No, I don't think there's anyone. What?
Okay, there's one person for you that you don't want it to be. So there you go. Well, you won.
Okay, yeah, you won. I don't want it to be because, you know, Ric Flair wants to fight MJF. I don't want it to be Ric Flair. I don't want it to be Jeff Jarrett. No, like no one, please.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Well, let's move on.
The actual match between MJF and Daniel Garcia was absolutely a slapper. It was an amazing way to open up Dynamite. I'm like, one of the best things out of MJF's face run was the fact that we get to see him wrestle a lot.
Yeah. Exactly. I like it.
Yeah.
He's seeing him wrestle a lot more. It's good.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other thing, which was the backstage segment with Jericho, Omega, and the Bucks.
Yeah. So we a full gear matchup set up now.
Yes, we have a full gear match set up. Chris Jericho and Omega versus the Bucks. And the Bucks tag team championship opportunity is on the line here. And if they win, Jericho and Omega will never get to tag again. So we didn't get to talk about this last week, but Paul White, the Big Show, will be the one to tag with Jericho, Omega, and Ibushi versus the Don Callis family. I didn't sign up for this. The match is going to be fine. Like, all other people in the match are, you know, are amazing. And the match was absolutely going to slap. And then they added Paul White. He's probably going to do some giant thing, you know, just here there for the spectacle. And I'm absolutely fine with that. Like, absolutely fine with that. But, like, it could have been someone else. Okay. It could have been someone else. So.
Could have been me. It should have been me.
Should have been me. Okay, so the whole situation here is the Bucks are being little bitches, you know? And they're angry that Omega has other friends. But on the other hand, the little bitches... No, Andrew, why are you turning heel all of a sudden?
It's good. That's...
No. What?
No, I'm
what
just.
What did we ever do to you? Kate and I will never let you forget this. I have backup. Yeah, okay. So as I was saying, the little bitches on the other hand. So let's take, you know, the storyline between Nick Wayne, A.R. Fox, Swerve Strickland, and Darby Allin. Okay?
Like, okay.
Hear me out, because I'm going to start at a far. Okay, so Swerve Strickland and A.R. Fox beat the crap out of Nick Wayne, right? And then yes. Darby Allin, the very next week, might I add, the very next week, Darby Allin forgives A.R. Fox. And Nick Wayne isn't okay with this, so he turned to the dark side. You know, he joined
Christian Cage. He wanted a daddy.
Okay, I want a daddy too. So, but like, because apparently mine is too busy to help me with the crown moldings. So.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Let's just not go there. So Nick Wayne, in my eyes, was incredibly justified here, okay? Because in his eyes, Darby Allin was expecting him to be okay with someone that beat him just a week ago and be friends with them and tag with them or whatever. So this isn't supposed to be happening. So Nick Wayne being justified. On the other hand, the Bucks, everything that Jericho did to them, like he beat up their dad. He legitimately beat up their dad and everything.
Yep.
And he also cost them, you know, championship opportunities. They've been to war, like, with each other. Stadium Stampede matches. Like, what the hell? So, now, Omega is, you know, doesn't understand why the Bucks won't trust Jericho. So, I'm having a nosebleed just, you know, figuring out who's the bigger bitch here. And like, what I hate the most in this situation is the fact that Jericho is the most sane one. And I did not agree to this.
Like, Maggie's going to be on the phone with Will Washington after this.
Like, I did not agree with a segment in which Jericho has the most right, okay? Like, this is totally unacceptable behavior. Like, if I paid any money for this, I would want it back, okay? So, like, that's...
I get it.
Why is none of these people, neither Omega or the Bucks, mentioning Hangman at all?
I think last week they covered it with the Young Bucks, because they mentioned somewhat that they understood with Hangman. You know, they understood because of what Swerve did. He went after his family.
Okay, so the Young Bucks are making a case of Omega not helping them. Why aren't the Bucks helping Hangman? This is my question.
Oh, good. Yeah, you got that spot on. That makes perfect sense. That's a good point. Why can't they still help each other?
They can still help each other. And that's...
Where the hell is Brandon Cutler? I mean... I was just...
He's still busy editing the BT episodes that we're not getting for 3 weeks straight. Like, that's... That's, like, a lot of weird stuff. Like, I know that AEW is at its finest when the elite are involved in some sort of way. So while we're on this subject, the second person I want to shout out today is Corey Michaels, for our wonderful friend Corey, who had his first ever Young Bucks article released yesterday. And I could not believe that it was his first Young Bucks article ever. So he covered a lot of ground in his article. Go ahead. It's on Body Slam. Go ahead and read it. It's a really nice piece. He went in, like, he covered a lot of ground. So, it's just, I don't know where this goes. If a lot of people are right in their fantasy booking here, the Bucks, you gotta admit that the Bucks are always greater when they're heels, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
I would make a point out of that. Yeah. But like, why aren't they having, you know, squash matches in the tag team division? Why are they pissed off that Kenny left them? Because like, now they don't have to be a part of the trios division. They can be a part of the tag team division, the actual tag team division that they have a championship opportunity. You know, no one mentions that. Like, Ricky Starks mentioned it, you know, last week on Collision. He's probably the only one. And now they, you know, they referenced that on this week's show. That's fine. But like, they had, like, why would you? You have a championship opportunity. You don't brag about it at all, like whatsoever. It's not mentioned on television. And then you go and whine about your best friend having other friends.
Well, I think,
like,
they were.
Why are you getting ready for your match? Why aren't you confronting the tag team champions with your presence on the show that you're no longer banned from? Because Kenny's there also. Like, a lot of things don't make sense to me. And I would just love it if, you know.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I know you're still talking about Hangman and the Young Bucks. And I still think that they covered it. I think they covered that part well with them. I mean, there could still be more added, but I think them giving the excuse last week helped matters, in my opinion.
The excuse is fine, but why aren't selfish? That's if they're so right in their minds that the elite should be helping each other, right? That's exactly what they said. The elite should be helping each other. Hangman's part of the elite, right? Where are they? Like, what the fuck?
When,
it's just,
yeah. No, I get it. We can move on. I do see that we have. You wanted to talk about Hangman's table spot there.
We did talk about it.
I thought you meant like you wanted to talk more in depth. I just thought it was cool. I liked it. That's all I wanted to add.
No,
I guess
we covered that. Okay.
I know I didn't say anything. I just wanted to say it was cool. So now Samoa Joe versus Keith Lee. Match was fine. I think what did it afterwards.
Match was fine.
Yeah, what did it afterwards is what.
What do you think about it? Because I have notes.
I did not like it at all. I think there are a lot of different things you could do in that sense. I think that would have been a good time to maybe. In a way, I'm not saying you had to do this, but in a way, it would have been a good time to bring like the devil out in front of the crowd, like for a minute, like just like distract Samoa Joe and let Keith Lee win the title, or you could have just figured something out, like just anything where Keith Lee wins that title. You would have fixed a couple things. You wouldn't have to do. I assume they're going to do a tournament. Have they even said what they're doing yet? I think they're addressing it next week because Tony Khan has an announcement about it. I think that's what I read. So I think that's what I read. Anyways, I don't like it when a title's just like, oh, can't do it. I mean, the only time that I've really was okay with it, I'm okay with it if it's like injury or. Example, the time that Becky had to give it up, Becky Lynch had to give her title up. That made sense, obviously, you know, just drop the title. I want it to make sense. That did not make sense. I know Stone Cold did it in 1998 or something right before he won the WWF title. I didn't like it then either. Because you're basically spitting on that trophy, on that belt, saying, it doesn't matter. You know, I want the big one. That's fine. I just don't book yourself in a corner with it. Because I'll give you another example. In a way, I look at Roman Reigns. He's obviously, we know the story they're doing with Roman is great. He does not need the title of what was going on with him in the bloodline. He did not need that title. Cody Rhodes should have been able to keep that title. He should have won that title and stuff like that. But I guess I would rather them let him hold on to it than just drop it for no apparent reason. Because he, why not be double champion? I'd be fine with that. I'd be completely fine with a double champion. What are your thoughts?
I hated this so much, Rob. I really did. I hated this a lot, immensely. A huge amount of hatred towards the segment. I hated it greatly. So if Samoa Joe decided to relinquish his TV title right here, why didn't you get, you know, Keith Lee to win it? Like, why did that happen? First of all, second of all, if you don't want Samoa Joe to actually lose that title, maybe you should book a multi-man, match in which Samoa Joe does not have to be pinned in order to lose the title. That was another opportunity. This whole situation just makes it look like he doesn't want that title anymore and he doesn't care for Ring of Honor or the TV title. By the way, why does Ring of Honor have a TV title when they're not on TV? Like, that's a totally different, question that I have. This entire thing just devalues Ring of Honor. It devalues the championship. It also devalues his run, greatly devalues his run. He was the longest reigning TV champion, and he doesn't give a fuck about it. Like, that's basically what happened here.
Well, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Nobody really, as you can tell, gives much of a F about Ring of Honor. I mean,
right, yes, now, this is the other thing. Incredible run, like a huge deal about, you know, all your champions, and none of your champions are on television apart from Athena. Like, I haven't been watching Ring of Honor in months now because I think that it's not worth my time. And yeah. I adore the wrestlers. It's not their fault. It's not on their, it's not on their head. It's just like the booking is crap. Like, what are you fighting for? Like, your championships aren't there. Like, none of the championships are there.
No,
it's exactly. Not. It's like all your championships are on Dynamite or in New Japan or like so on and so forth. Like, why is this happening? It's a promotion without any sticks to it. It's what?
Just Corey's comment here. They should have Roman relinquish the title at Survivor Series so he can be the second Samoan Joe to give up his belt. Well played, Corey.
I adore Corey so much. So the other thing is, if just imagine Samoa Joe, if he doesn't win that championship from MJF, he looks like a dumbass, right? Where does it say that he needs that he can only hold one title? Where does it say that? Because he clearly went after MJF while he was holding that Ring of Honor championship. He can do it now again. There's no law against that, Joe. That's so weird. Like, why relinquish your title? This is not a matter of option C in Impact, because I'm sure that a lot of people say, "Well, it's okay when Impact do it." No, like that. They made it a thing where you relinquish your X Division championship and go after, the Impact Championship. Like, that's an Impact thing. Like, by the way, I have no idea what option A and B are. Just so you know. I have, like, this being option C, like, what happened to A and B? That's a different topic. Another awful thing about it is that when you've had such a run that Samoa Joe had, you're, giving up the opportunity to build another wrestler up by beating Samoa Joe after the run he's had. Like, you're not building future stars this way, and it pisses me off. Pinning Samoa Joe after the run that he's had, this should be a big deal, and now it's not possible. I mean, a matter of fact, I would have been totally, absolutely okay if Danhausen went out and just took the title and ran away. That would have been absolutely gold, okay? This would have saved the entire segment for me. Or Ethan Page, by the way. Ethan Page, who's part of Ring of Honor now. Like, he's there way more than AEW. Have you looked at the man? Like, go on his Instagram account. Like, he's been training a lot. Like, Jesus
Christ. He doesn't have anything else to do.
Like, exactly. Like, you have Ethan Page on your roster and you're doing nothing with him? The dude's a genius. Like, invest in Ethan Page, please. He is literally there. Put a belt on that man, please, for the love of God. I'm done.
I don't get it either. But yeah, no, I understand like where you're coming from. I just didn't like it. I mean, there's really nothing else I can say. I think there's 100 different things they could have done other than just drop the belt, like, and let the, I assume that they're going to do a tournament. And it's going to be like out of four guys, or they're going to have, you know, it's not going to be a big one. They're going to crown the champion at their next pay-per-view in December. And
final battle.
Yeah, final battle. Thank you. So, I don't know. There's a lot of things I would have done differently, but Tony did what he thinks best, I guess. You know, that's really all I can say. It's just we question a lot of his booking, and rightfully so. So Mariah May made her AEW debut. What do you think of that, Maggie?
I was really pleased by the way that they did this because I saw the comparisons online. This is basically Trish Stratus and
Mickie James.
And Mickie James storyline.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely okay with this. Mariah May is... Hopefully is there to bring like some balance into, you know, AEW's women's division. Also puts RJ City on the screen more. Yeah. I would never say no to that. I'm always happy to see RJ City on my television.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. Like, he's still not gotten that graphic. Like, he hasn't gotten the graphic, right?
No.
Like, he hasn't.
I bet he, like, just knowing how RJ City is, I'm sure he doesn't, like, really want it now because he's made it such a good bit.
Yeah, it's a bit, but yeah. Well, all this time, it's just a bit. I understand. And it's like, Chuck Taylor is saying shit on Dynamite. It's that.
But
so
once that happens, it's going to be magical, though.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's going to rejoice. It's going to be so great. Hopefully, Ric Flair will not be in the ring. So I have complete faith in everything they're doing with Mariah May and Toni Storm and RJ City. I'm just going to wait it out. I just hope they don't drop the ball here. I have no idea when Mariah May debuts in the ring and which opponent she chooses to debut in. I have no idea when that happens. The opponent is going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let it play out.
I could see it being somebody like Ruby.
I got Ruby on my mind too, but I just don't want to see Ruby lose all the time, you know?
No, I get it. The one thing is, granted, I know it's Twitter, so you can see a couple of things that are somewhat funny sometimes, and this person was being 100% serious when they asked, because they, I even looked at their account. They're not on much. They went on afterwards and they said, how the hell did AEW get Tiffany Stratton so fast? And the person was serious. They thought it was Tiffany Stratton.
That's cute.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? That's pretty good. Even if they didn't mean to, I thought it was just the way they wrote it. Like it was, they were being 100% honest. They thought it was her. So I even looked at some of their past tweets to just see if they were a smart ass. And no, they were serious. It was a serious question. I thought it was great. So, but
it's going to be an interesting one. Yeah. Now you can get to talk about New Japan.
Some. Yeah. New Japan Pro Wrestling New Japan Strong has a show tomorrow night in Garland, Texas, where it's actually going to be the same place where AEW Dynamite is going to be next month it's Collision, I believe. Yeah, it's going to be Collision along with Final Battle. Same place where they're doing that show. But New Japan Strong has a show tomorrow night, Lone Star Shootout in Dallas. And usually we don't get to talk about New Japan, but this card looks awesome. Plus, Fightful got to interview not only Rocky Romero, but Hikuleo as well. So we got two interviews out of it this week. So I definitely want to promote them.
Matches... this show has Zack Sabre Jr. against Mike Bailey, and like if that's not a panty dropper, I don't know what is.
Yeah, so there you go. But yeah, you have the Strong Survivor match produced by New Japan Academy, which is Matt Vandegrift versus Barrett Brown. You have Fred Rosser versus versus Tom Lawler, Mascara Dorado, Tiger Mask, and Alanis taking on Hichicero, Rocky Romero, Ultimo Guerrero. You also have Kevin Knight, Kushida, Tongaloa, and Tama Tonga taking on Clark Connors. Easy for me to say. Gabriel Kidd, Alex Coughlin, and Chase Owens. Then you had Joey Janela, who was on with In the Weeds this morning, taking on Toru Yano. Strong Openweight Tag Team Championship, Hikuleo and El Fantasmo taking on Jarrell Nelson and Royce Isaacs of the Wrecking Crew. You also have Mystico versus TJP. The Strong Openweight Championship is also going to be Eddie Kingston versus Kojima.
Oh, yes.
New Japan World Television Championship, like you said. Zack Sabre Jr. taking on Mike Bailey. Yeah, there you go. John Moxley and Wheeler Yuta taking on David Finlay and Kenta.
I have no idea how this match is going to end. Seriously.
You have the IWGP Women's Championship, Iwatani taking on Stephanie Vacker. The Never Openweight Championship, Trent Beretta taking on Takagi. I mean, this show looks loaded for me. It's I can't wait to watch it. I'm looking forward to it.
I am going to watch Zack Sabre Jr. and Mike Bailey. I really am. I'm going to watch Kingston and Kojima also. Shingo and Trent Beretta, I will, because like AEW has Trent, like best friends as a whole, and they don't seem to do anything with them. I can't believe that best friends have not been tag team champions. And Ricky Starks and Big Bill are. also, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus were before Proud and Powerful. And like, there's no way Proud and Powerful are going to be champions, because they had a match together on Rampage. Like, their story fully developed and ended on Rampage. Yeah. And that's such a waste. Like, I know, like, we're one of the people that keep, you know, begging AEW to put more things that with more stakes on Rampage, just so people, you know, have a reason to tune into Rampage. Rampage is live this week, by the way.
Yep.
So this is me nitpicking here, because I wanted more stuff that matters on the show, and then they give me more stuff that matters on the show, and like now I'm ranting that they're on this show and not on the other show. I understand.
Joey Janela didn't make it on the site. Sorry, I thought you were done. He didn't make it on the interview this morning. So, oh well, my bad.
Oh, that's fine. They're getting him next week.
So I probably shouldn't have deleted those Joey Janela photos. Oh, well. Whoops-a-daisy. They'll find it, figure it out. Anyways, so yeah, the show looks good. Mm-hmm. And ready for some Cooperfect action?
Yes. Just before we get going with the show, again, Corey is right in the chat. They can give Emi Sakura to Mariah May. I will be absolutely happy with that. Once again, completely on the spot with that one, Corey. Okay, guys, this week I'm going to tell you all about Brianna Schrum. What kind of a name is Schrum? I adore that name, by the way. She took her children to the Humane Society in order to gauge what kinds of kittens her kids were drawn to, because she was thinking of adopting two kittens in the next few months. She said, I told him to look at kittens. There were like 20 kittens in the room. One of her sons, he didn't give a single fuck about a single kitten there. He saw this very sweet and pretty, but completely physically unremarkable 2-year-old cat named Captain Sushi, and would not look at anyone else. So this is a story about this mother, you know, looking at her child, conversing with cats, and, you know, him bragging to other people about the cat that he found. They had no idea that one day after they went back from school or a field trip, they were, you know, two cats that she adopted. She went in and adopted two of the cats, and both sons were incredibly happy about that. Like, they cried. There's videos in the tweets. You can look at them. This just, you know, we did a story about dogs last week, right? I feel like it was, yes.
I think it was dogs.
Yes.
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. Ghostbusters. Sorry,
wasn't it about the dogs that were on the dog bus?
Yeah. Yep.
I think we did the dog bus. Yeah. Okay. So, yes. So this is, a different situation of, cats. By the way, guys, you don't need to be a dog person or a cat person. You can just be an animal person and just hate people. This photo, she said that she had no idea why they like to spend time in the they spend time in the bathtub. She was not giving them a bath or anything. This was not the case. So she adopted the kittens. The sons are incredibly happy and they adore them both. Man, I just love that so much.
So, yeah, just a good one. And the here's one. I just love how much you love this photo.
What?
That has nothing to do with the story, but I just wanted to dust off an oldie.
Why is this still on stream?
I just downloaded it because I knew it'd pop you. That's why. I just downloaded it. Like, I was like, cat. All you had to do is type cat and then ATM. So, and then that was like the first photo that came up.
Really?
Yeah. It's fantastic. I mean, look at the guy. Like, what? It looks like he wants to just tear that thumb up. And it's also looks like he just wants to say, what the F are you doing? So I just love it. But see, I told you, it pops Maggie every time. It's great.
I would never remember that which episode was that on when we, talked about this. But, like, I'm sorry. That popped me so much. Like, I'm the one who finds the Cooper effects most of the time. And I'm familiar with the picture. And then I get on the show incredibly professional and everything. And yeah. I talked about the cat and just lose it.
that's what's great. But yeah, it's a great story. We move on.
Let's move on. My headphones are losing battery. Like the woman in my ears keeps saying that.
Nice. All right. I wish I had somebody
that is nice.
Talking to
that,
my ear.
Like that. That is nice.
Anyways, John Cena said today in a tweet that he went under, he had successful surgery for his arm. He didn't say which one, but so he had surgery for his arm. Don't know if that was ring related. I assume it had to be, but who knows? I mean, I guess it didn't have to be. Maybe he just got out of the way since he was done with in-ring action now for a while. But
talking about John Cena, he got destroyed at Crown Jewel. By Solo Sikoa.
Yeah, so.
Why are you rolling your eyes? Didn't you know that Solo Sikoa was winning?
Yeah, no, I did. I just was like, when you just said destroy,
no,
that's
didn't. No, I was setting you up. I was setting you up so you could have admitted that your predictions were wrong.
Oh, yeah, I almost said that, but I'm like, you know what? I don't need to bring that up right now. That I'm
no, I bad need with you.
that how bad I am at predictions.
He got squashed. Solo Sikoa gave him 1,000, thumbs to the thumbs to the.
Gotta be careful with those thumbs. You never know where they could be.
Rogue thumbs. That is. Yeah, Jesus.
Got a super chat from our good friend Chris Mueller. He sends a.
There
happy
you
Friday.
Go.
I did it. Happy Friday or whatever.
It is Friday. Out- It was really weird. Chris just interviewed Kenny Omega today, by the way. He did a shout out to our friend Kate. I still haven't seen her reactions, but I'm looking forward to those. The interview with Kenny Omega will be soon up on Bleacher Report in a week or two.
Yeah.
In a week or two, that's absolutely fine. Chris is one of the good people on Twitter that you need to be focused at. He's such a sweetheart. Thank you, Chris, sweetie. By the way, guys, send us the super chats and humper chats, the most direct way to support our show. A couple of other things that happened on Crown Jewel, Rob. Logan Paul is now able to wash himself with the United States Championship. You wanted to do that with the Fightful Championship.
Yeah. That's what's funny is like I said, hey Sean, send me a Fightful Championship. I'll recreate these photos. And that was not gonna happen. But anyways,
I'll do it.
people would be okay with it. Yeah, people would be okay with that. If I do it, it's like, why did you cancel your Fightful Select subscription? ROB. No, thank you. We don't need that. Anyways.
You're not going to be on Select.
No, I know, but I'm just saying in general, why did you cancel your Fightful Select account? Well, in general, I canceled it because of Rob. We don't need that. Anyways, moving on. See, you agree.
I don't.
Okay. Anyways. But I like how a lot of people were up in arms about it. If people think the worst thing that's happened with a WWE title was somebody took a shower with it, I got news for you. There's been a lot worse things that happen on those titles.
Come on.
Speaking of that, yeah, that's probably happened too. All right. That's all I had to add to that.
I walked right into that one.
Yep.
I'm sure that this is something I discussed with our friend Alex Cardoza. It's unfair that Logan Paul is so incredible in the ring because it makes it so much more frustrating. Everything that you hate him for, what he does in the ring as a wrestler should not be one of them, whatsoever. And if you hate Logan Paul because of the way that he's portraying himself as a wrestler, then you obviously aren't watching. It's really frustrating for me that he's so good in so little time. You know, the fact that he's incredibly athletic obviously helps. And I understand it's just a bit, you know, I'm so happy when Bad Bunny does it because Bad Bunny is freaking saint. And he, you know, has songs about fingering his girlfriend or whatever. That's legitimately his new song. That is his new song.
Okay, that's fine. I just never thought we'd have that talked about on this show.
Talk about Bad Bunny. We can talk about that, okay?
No, that's fine. I just never... That's just a sentence I didn't think we'd ever have on the show.
I know.
I never thought about it before, but...
This is a wrestling show.
Yeah, it's Fistful Select.
Yes. You know. So... I get it, I understand, but it will make it also much more incredibly satisfying when Logan Paul loses his championship to LA Knight.
LA Knight, yeah.
At Royal Rumble or WrestleMania or whatever, like it's absolutely fine. It's gonna be great. Another thing that happened at Crown Jewel, Kairi Sane came back to WWE to no fan reaction whatsoever. I hated it. I was made aware that like people didn't react because they didn't see on the screen who that person was. But even when they saw, like it wasn't that, like the only people that crowd woke up for were LA Knight and Cody Rhodes. Full stop. Like that crowd woke up for LA Knight and Cody Rhodes. They adore Cody over there. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was so great.
And Cody Rhodes is huge wherever he goes, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely.
Apart from AEW, obviously.
Well, yeah. That's because it's a different crowd.
Yeah. It's a different crowd. It's totally different.
I consider it a smart crowd.
Raw was kind of a good show this week. What do you think?
I enjoyed Raw. I thought it was really solid.
Yeah,
I do.
Like lately, Raw has been, you know,
kind of
doing good. In my eyes. Seth Rollins versus Sami Zayn right out of the gate. That was absolutely brilliant. I would have saved that for a main event at a pay-per-view, but like I will not mind if I get it on free television, you know, at an episode of Raw, because that was something that Raw and SmackDown lacked, and that was purpose, you know, a reason to tune in to the show.
Yeah.
I drop stuff a lot on the show. So
drop it like it's hot. Oh shit. I just set up Soupy for that one. Oh well,
Robert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Robert.
So, a thing that happened on Raw that was so weird. We got a number one contenders. Let me rephrase that. Intercontinental Championship number one contenders fatal four-way match. Miz, Bronson Reed, Ricochet, and Ivar. So the wonderful thing was that they had an individual video packages for all four competitors in this match. I love it when they do that. This wasn't a thing back when Vince took, like, he was a part of, you know, the show.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they, you know, tell you why you should care about this match. I love it. The match was great. The finish, on the other hand, was not. So, Ivar did he do a superplex or did he do some sort of weird thing from you know, the top rope? Or a moonsault from the top rope. He did something to Ricochet. I think it was a superplex from the top rope. On the other side of the ring, Bronson Reed was going for a tsunami to Miz. So what happened was Miz moved out of the way. Bronson Reed hit the floor. And at the same time, Ivar was pinning Ricochet. And Miz was pinning Bronson Reed, who was, you know, like a turtle on his back, not being able to kick out from someone at the caliber of the Miz pinning you.
Yeah, hey.
Is weird to me. Like, that is so weird. And it wasn't even a good pin, might I add. It was a lame pin. It was even more lame than a schoolboy. Like, I'm just putting it out there. So what happened was right after two, Ricochet kicked out. So his pin wasn't counting. But Miz, at the same time, because the referee was counting to three to both sides of the pin, you know, Ivar and Miz. But like, Ricochet kicked out, but Bronson Reed didn't kick out. It was, how can you not kick out simply from, you know, doing a splash from the top rope onto the ring? And he was clearly moving. He was not out of it. It was a weird finish. I'm pretty sure that it was botched at some point.
Yeah, I've heard mixed. I've heard that like Ricochet like might have like hit his head, or he did hit his head. I've heard that even though he was moving, like they think that could have played effect on it. I know, but it was late. You know, that was just one thing that I've heard. And Chris says it here too in a super chat. Thank you, Chris. He says it feels like Ricochet kicked out by mistake.
I have no idea what happened here. Thank you, sweetie.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really knows.
I have no idea. The match was so good up until this point.
Well, yeah.
It was certainly a weird one. But on the positive note, we got news that Julius Creed, Brutus Creed, and Ivy Nile, as a part of, you know, the Diamond Mine, are now officially signed to Raw. And that is such a big get for the main roster, like, concerning Raw. I am so happy for that. Because right out of the gate, we got the Creed Brothers versus DIY. Mm-hmm. The match was kind of weird. Like, did you enjoy the match? Because I don't know what happened in this match. Like, it didn't click for me.
Yeah, there was nothing that, like, stood out for me in this. Like, it was just like, yeah, I don't know if it's nerves from the Creeds or if it's just maybe.
But I kind of feel like it was both sides. Like, yeah, there were like a bit of miscommunications, but that, like, that's absolutely fine. Like, the Creed brothers have been working with, you know, the same tag teams on NXT for quite some time, and now they have to, you know, adjust a bit. But I don't think that that's anything that they can't work with. Ludwig Kaiser did get involved in this match and caused DIY the match.
Yep.
So the Creed brothers won, and even after they showed what happened on the screens and they saw for themselves what happened, they continued to celebrate. Are they gonna play the angle that they had no idea what happened, and even after the match that they paid zero attention to the big screen that was showing what actually happened in the match? Because like, I have no idea, because I don't see the Creed brothers as that sort of tag team on the main roster just yet, because having in mind what they're doing in the ring, they have babyface written all over them. And Ivy Nile was fucking robbed. She was okay. Tell me, Rob, because like,
Rob,
they
Rob.
Had
she was Rob.
They had a women's over the top battle royal. Okay.
Yep.
It's almost that time of the year, Rob, because the Royal Rumble is coming. It's almost that time
of the year.
The
road to WrestleMania is almost here. You're right.
Yes. When incredibly stupid, like, spots happen. Like, if you're eliminated from the Rumble, you shouldn't be able to eliminate yourself, people from the Rumble. Right? Correct.
It happens every damn year. Every year.
Thing happened here. Like this, that's a fucking trope. I remember specifically when Kane was eliminated from the 2014 Royal Rumble. And then when he was eliminated, he was part of the Authority. He eliminated CM Punk. And this was the last of CM Punk that we saw in WWE. I'm sorry for, you know, mentioning CM Punk while talking about WWE. That's on me. Mm-hmm. So what happened another nut, wink, wink, and nudge to CM Punk. There you go. So the exact same thing happened here because Ivy Nile was doing so great in this Battle Royal. Everyone that was remaining in the Battle Royal eliminated Nia Jax, and she was so pissed. And Ivy Nile, you can play, because Ivy Nile was incredibly stupid here, but you can play it off from the fact that she hasn't been in that much of Battle Royals. So she doesn't have, you know, the experience from that. But like, she was standing on the apron. Just standing on the apron. Having in mind that there's an incredibly angry person right there.
Yeah.
He was just eliminated. Maybe she was like, oh, well, she can't eliminate me now because she was just eliminated, because like, she uses logic, you know? That's what they teach you in the Diamond Mine, you know? Being intelligent and whatever. But like, then though, like, she, Nia Jax has been, you know, on the main roster for quite some time, and she knows how this shit works. I'm gonna eliminate someone from the Rumble just after I myself got eliminated because I'm so angry. Like, no one likes me in that division after I squashed every one of them with my hole.
So, wow. Okay.
You don't remember that?
No, I do. Just the way that you just made it funnier, I guess. I don't know.
Like, it's just so stupid. I hated that spot. Like, hated it so much. Like, what? We're just getting, you know, that ridiculous notion that if your both feet are not touching the ground, then you're not eliminated. Okay, so if one of my feet are touching, are you know, firmly on the ground, but are on a sheet of paper, like, that's basically not the ground, right? Like, my other leg is in the air, and like, my other leg is on a piece of paper. That's not the ground, you know? And when someone pulls the paper right underneath you, and then you're eliminated. Like, I hate that so much. Like, you don't need to make the Rumble and Battle Royals so over the top, stupid, and hard to, you know. Well, it's a no disqualification match. This would absolutely, most certainly be a sort of a disqualification. Like, there's, you know, Hell in a Cell has no disqualifications yet, you know. It was stopped when, you know, Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins were in that. There's clearly boundaries, okay?
Yeah,
for the Rumble.
So. Yeah, and that's the thing. WWE just goes with what fits their narrative, with what they want to happen. You know, it's kind of like sometimes you get that referee that sees the manager like interfering and they kick him out. Then there's times where the referee knows it's happening, they don't do anything. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
It's like that special referee on this week's NXT who's like, I'm gonna use discretion on this match, and I'm like, because you don't use it in any other match.
I felt like
that was
that one
such
UFC
a stupid segment.
I know you don't watch UFC, but he reminds me of one of those UFC referees from back in the day. He was just Mario, I think his name was. I can't remember his last name, but he was just brutal, just absolutely brutal. And I thought this was brutal, just the way he said it. It just reminded me of that. I mean, the referee didn't do anything bad. It just kind of reminded me of, like, oh, so he's incompetent. Okay, I gotcha.
You don't know about your job.
And that's why, like, I know a lot of people don't like Rick Knox of AEW, but he does the incompetent thing so well that it's, you know,
it's frustrating.
Yes,
and he has not been on television at all.
No,
he has not.
Yep. So,
do you know what we're getting, Rob?
What do you mean?
War games.
Yeah, war games. War games. I can't do it.
Yeah, but by the way, it was really well said. Like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't William Regal, you know?
Adam Pearce. Yeah.
But Adam Pearce did a wonderful job.
I sent a tweet to him on, like, after Raw, like, that somebody did a screen capture of his face, and I go, I've actually seen that face, because I've seen Adam Pearce at a lot of independent shows here in Minnesota, and I've seen that face when it's been negative degrees and West St. Paul at night, and I've seen that face, so I knew exactly he was pissed. So, like, oh, that's a pissed off face. I haven't seen that in a long time.
So War Games got announced. Right out of the gate, do you, like, you saw the poster for War Games?
Yep.
Do you like it?
I don't have a problem with it. I like it. It reminds me of Barry Windham from back in the day. So Barry Windham had a similar look. I like, so it reminds me of that, because, the camouflage. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah. And the cool thing about this whole thing is Cody Rhodes gets to be in his dad's match, you know, like, that's what I love about it.
This is the way.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. This is the way. I just loved this. He was the only one smiling. That was what was even better about it. Like, he just like, hell yeah, let's do it. I'm in, you know? So
I'm happy that this happened. It's, he was supposed to be in a Blood and Guts match in AEW, but then the pandemic happened. They did a Stadium Stampede match. He was not a part of that, because
I still wish we would have got that damn match so bad.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was so great. We didn't get Cody in that match because he was fighting for the first ever TNT championship against the Murder Hawk Monster. Boy, the things I remember from 2020, Jesus. So he was never a part of that, but now he gets to be. Like, last year he wasn't there due to his injury. And now he finally gets to compete in his father's own,
match. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm extremely happy for Cody. So happy for Cody. I mean, you kind of have to give the win to Cody, right?
I would think so, but I mean, who knows? Jesus, the way it's going these days.
Please don't give him more adversity to overcome, because I will shoot myself. Oh, why? No, this should not be happening anymore. No, please stop. Just no. Do you think we're getting 15 members?
Yeah. It has to be 5-on-5. It's part of it's
5-on-5. Okay. Do you think Drew McIntyre joins Judgment Day?
I do, and I think Randy Orton's going to be part of Cody's team.
Okay, but, like, do you think that Randy Orton turns on the face team after the match?
No. Maybe on the Raw afterwards, but not that night. I think they're going to go for the moment, you know. I hope not. I want Orton to be a face for a while. I think it'd be good for him, too.
I felt like he did the face thing with with Matt Riddle, and Orton's really good at being a heel.
Oh, like, absolutely.
I will never, it's weird, and it's not MJF being the babyface weird, it's a different sort of weird for me, like Orton being a face. And to be perfectly honest, he wasn't actually going for a face with Matt Riddle, he was jackass to Riddle almost entire time, but, like, because of everyone loved Riddle for whatever reason.
Well, it was mainly the people that didn't understand, like, the allegations against him, so.
Or they didn't care about
the allegations. Or that too, yeah.
Also, the weed.
Well,
it's absolutely weed. Fine.
Nope.
Smoke weed every day. So, another good thing. We're getting Iron Survivor qualifying matches over on NXT. Let's just really quick talk about NXT for a while. This is for Deadline. We're getting December, the final pay-per-view of NXT this calendar year. So I don't know if you remember the way that they picked the Iron Survivors last year. Do you remember that?
Hall of Famers, like
they got into a room together,
yeah,
and they started announcing people, and right out of the gate they said that wins and losses didn't matter. I specifically remember that because it was one of the most stupid things I've ever heard. And the people who were in the match were incredible, but I don't like the way you presented that match, because it was a new match. It was something, they were trying something different. I don't know if they're gonna mix it up this year, because I remember I had some weird questions about the match itself, the way the match happened.
Okay.
But the fact that they have qualifying matches this year is a huge step forward. So this week, Mick Foley picked a lot of the people who were going to qualify. Next week will be Trish Stratus. I'm sorry, Lita. Next week will be Lita. And she will be picking the people. I don't need to tell you just how sad I am that Dijak beat Tyler Bate.
Yeah.
Because this isn't me trashing on Dijak, because he absolutely needs to be in these sorts of matches, because he can be the muscle and the one who can, you know, ragdoll people around. My complaint is you have someone like Tyler Bate and you don't do anything with them. And I'm just wondering if he's just sticking around up until NXT Europe starts to be a thing, and then he goes back to that. Or yeah, is he staying firmly on NXT in the States? Because he's had some opportunities. His match against Bron Breakker was a thing of beauty, but Bron Breakker, sadly, was the one to combine the two championships together. He won the Heritage Cup, but it wasn't really it. I don't know. It was a weird thing with the Heritage Cup. But is this the real Heritage Cup? But it's a copy. But Noam Dar got the real one. It was a weird thing, and then he relinquished it. And I'm like, no. So I don't understand what Tyler Bate's doing. I don't understand his storyline. And they got video packages for people from the qualifying matches too on NXT. So this is again a step forward. Because in the video package itself, he said, "Don't take my meditating personality lightly, because I can do this and this and that." And I'm like, "Well, you just showed us that you can't." Like, it's just something that I don't get. And I will forever be biased for Tyler Bate, because I think he's the complete package. And why doesn't he have a championship on him? Why isn't he North American champion? Why isn't he the one beating the crap out of Dominic Mysterio? Why is this happening? Wesley is back. I suppose that he's going to get that championship back now that he's there again. Likely. I'm almost completely sure that that's what they're building towards. But what do you do with Tyler Bate? You can have Tyler Bate and don't do anything with the guy. Like, it's as if you have the world's biggest swordsmanship and make him sharpen your pen. It's like it's frustrating a bit. It really is, and I just don't understand. I don't get it. I really don't. Put a championship on that man, and make us care for Tyler Bate. That's what I'm saying.
I get it. So we had Trick Williams up here. Had Trick Williams appear after Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov's championship match. Good match. I enjoyed it. He appeared. He looked. We had a little kind of one-on-one, like, look, they were getting in front of each other's face, obviously. They're talking, and then we get your guy, Lexus King, a.k.a. Brian Pillman Jr.
Why do you keep calling him my guy? Stop it.
Okay. It's fun for me, that's why. But, yeah, you have him.
You're lying to our people.
Well, yeah. What else to do? Anyways. No, I'm kidding. Anyways. The funniest thing about this whole thing. Did you see the clip where he's trying to put his glasses away? Have you seen that? Where he's trying to find his pocket and he just throws it like it's like, oh, God. You know, like, poor guy. So that was hilarious. But then I actually started thinking.
No, that entire segment was hilarious. And yeah. It didn't hit whatsoever. Because, okay, clearly Brian Pillman, not Brian Pillman Jr., you know. He was obviously trying to tell them something. And they were like, hey, guy who's clearly gonna say that he was the one, please go away, like we're having a moment here, because he was obviously hinting towards something. This isn't us paying attention to NXT and his interviews, okay? This is not us, because I completely forgot about his interview and the way he was clearly suspicious about stuff. I did not remember this whatsoever. This isn't me being focused on NXT television. This is me looking at some dork with weird ass facial hair.
Oh, you're talking about the show. Gotcha. Okay.
No, not you. You're great.
No, I'm just...
So he comes out. I cannot remember a time in which you did not have mustache, by the way, just saying. It is so part of your face now.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. So a guy like him goes out to the ring and starts talking to him. In his eyes, he's talking in riddles, but he's clearly not. He's obviously saying that he was the one that attacked Trick Williams. Maybe it was someone else. Maybe it was someone new. And they were like, but they were like, oh, God, like, yeah. Go somewhere else. We have a thing here. And I'm like, how stupid are you?
Yeah, I know. It was... Well, I think they were looking at from the...
You? That's so frustrating.
They were looking at from the perspective that he was just there to cause hell, which, I mean, that's the way I took it in, but who knows. Eric sends us a super chat. He says, I know I said no more chats, but I'm glad your show is kicking, but I've been feeling odd with wrestling. Any matches you'd suggest to love again? To love to watch again? Or, you know, you can't really...
in love with wrestling.
Yeah. Watch any Will Ospreay match for the most part from this year.
Any Will Ospreay match. I would suggest you watching the match against Mike Bailey about 1,000 times.
The other thing,
about
too,
1,000 times.
If you want to get like kind of back into it, one thing that I recommend to anybody that's ever asked me that is go to YouTube and type on great wrestling moments, because you'll see compilations of people just putting things together and it'll bring you back a little bit. I mean, I've seen the WrestleMania 18 with Hogan and Rock, you know, some of Stone Cold's greatest moments, stuff like that, you know. So, yeah. But Maggie, who do you
obviously
think...
watch the three-way for the X Division Championship, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, and Christopher Daniels.
Yeah, just also, watch three-ways in general. That'll make you happy. Sorry, too soon.
Also, all the trilogy with Okada and Omega, obviously you should watch that. None of the Roman Reigns matches, obviously, because they just end in the same way. But like, yeah, you can watch the Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. Oh no, wait. Bailey versus Becky Hell in a Cell match. You can, like, right out of the gate, I just remember that.
Charlotte Flair had a good Hell in a Cell match too, right?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. But I was obviously talking about Bailey.
Oh, this, gotcha.
And Becky. Yeah,
I gotcha.
That was a super fun match. Right. New Day versus Usos in the Hell in a Cell match. That's my favorite Hell in a Cell match ever.
Yeah.
And it was a tag team match.
So before, like, we go, Maggie, who do you think? So who do you think is the person that attacked Drake Williams?
It was obviously Alexis Kane.
Okay. I'm still going with my original theory. I think it's Street Profits.
Hurt Profits? Yeah. Profits that are hurt?
Yeah.
Street business is better.
Yeah. They're trying to get Carmelo. They're trying to.
I would absolutely love that, by the way. I would love that, but it's so good that you cannot.
Yeah, I know. I have to stick with it because it's so out there that if it stays with
it's
it,
amazing booking. Like, way to go. I will never not give you, you know, your flowers.
Yeah.
When it comes to
Robert DeFelice, he's good at this stuff.
But I hate the fact that everything that comes out of his mouth is so logical and so much gold, and I'm like, then you make me watch wrestling that doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And like, I get angry for that.
Yep. Maggie, tell everybody where they can find you.
Guys, you can follow me on X, Twitter, or whatever at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you.
And you can follow me right here. On Twitter at Rob Wilkins. You can also find me on Instagram at Fightful Rob. And then every Friday, right here at 3 o'clock Eastern with Miss Maggie as we host Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. Next week, we have AEW Full Gear predictions. And who knows what else we'll be talking about. You never know. So we're looking forward to it. But guys, I want to say thank you very much for joining us today. I hope you have a great weekend. And we love you. We want to say thank you for everybody that joined us today and that listens to the podcast. Hope you guys have a great one. And we will talk to you later.
Subscribe to Fightful Select.
Yeah, subscribe to Fightful Select. That does really good stuff for us. It helps us a lot. So, see you later.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.